today on Real Radio.
No one cusses using Muhammad's name. No one hits their... Ow! Muhammad! No one does that. No one hits their finger up with a hammer and says, oh, Buddha! Have you noticed all around the world, people hit their... slam their finger in a door and the Jesus comes out of their mouth. That ought to wake you up to something.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the nation of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 42, we learned that God's man for the ages, well, that's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to the earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, who came to the world to bring us salvation. Isaiah shared this good news over 3,000 years ago and almost 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. Today on day 3 of chapter 42, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus is also called the God of Holy War. He has held his peace for a very long time, and he's shown restraint when it comes to judgment. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to act. It means that he's patient and not willing that we should die in our sin. And now continuing his lesson called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God wants to open your eyes. Ask him. Listen, if you don't have Jesus and his liberty, you're in prison right now. You're imprisoned to lust, porn, drugs, power, money, fill in the blank, arrogance, whatever it is, vanity, you're stuck. You're stuck in your little hamster running on the wheel. You're stuck. And Jesus wants to reach in and open that little window on that ball and pull you out. He's amazing. And people who are on the wheel, listen, they look great on the wheel. They look great. They got everything this world has to offer. At least that's what they're striving for because they think that's it. But down deep inside, when you peel everything away and you ask them, they'll tell you in honesty, my life's messed up. I seem to be bouncing off one from one incident and accident to the other. I'm out of control. You got to ask yourself this question. If you're outside of Jesus tonight and the life you're living tonight, are you content to live that for the rest of your life? How's that going for you? Think about that. And he says he's going to release those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Verse 8, I am, what does your Bible say? Capital L's, right? Capital L. O-R-D. You can write down in your margins right now, Y-H-W-H. That capital Lord is Yahweh. That is God's name. Now listen, some of you are going to get upset, but it's your problem. It's not my problem. I am Yahweh. That's his name. He says it right there in verse 8. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Those things are dead. They're made out of wood or metal or steel or whatever it is, or ivory. They can't talk. They're nothing. I'm real, God is saying. I'm the one, and here's my name. And this is important, church, because whoever he is, verse 9 is going to give us an attribute of his person that should bring you and I great comfort. But before we leave this, Yahweh, you need to really write that word down. And after you're done talking to a Jewish person that you met in LA, then head on over to Pomona or somewhere and find a Muslim. And ask your Muslim friend, ask them. This is your homework. Go to work tomorrow and ask your Muslim coworker, what is the name of your God? Can you do that? You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you the only thing they can tell you. They're going to say Allah. The only problem is that's not a name. Allah is Arabic for God. Did you hear that? Listen, the Bible says that God is the Lord. The Lord, He is God. It's two different things. I mean, two different announcements. The God of the Bible, His name is not God. He is God. His name is Yah. Look it up later, capital Y, capital A, capital H. It's His name. He says throughout the book, we'll see it later on in the book of Isaiah, in future chapters. He says, my name is Yah, that's my name. The name of Yahshua, Jesus, Joshua, the root is His name. His name means I save. He saves. Isn't that awesome? You need to be happy about that. You need to be really happy about that. Because, listen, our poor Muslim friends, they don't know the name of their God. They do not know. Ask them, what is the name? No, it's Allah. No, that's the name in Arabic for God. But, you know, look, there's all kinds of gods. There's all kinds of gods. So what's His name? They can't tell you. So pray for them. Love on them. Reach out to them. Show them that. You don't have to be a apologist. You don't have to be a Jay Smith to argue with them. Just say, I just want to know. Blame me. Say, you were at church on Wednesday night. This came up. Our pastor said that Arabic, Allah is God. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, okay, God is what something is. What is His name? And the poor things can't tell you. And then tell them, oh, well, we know the name of our God. His name is Yahweh. And you need Yah. I'm dead serious. And so He's saying, I'm the only one. And look what He does, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Everything I said in the past has happened. And new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Nobody can do this but the God of the Bible. I tell you about the future, and then when it happens, just know that it's me who told you. And I'm going to tell you something now, and you watch, keep your eyes open, and when it happens, I'm the one. Is that awesome? Yes. Nobody can do this, only the God of the Bible. Only the God of Isaiah 42. Verses 10 to 13, we see that He's the God, listen, of holy war. See, what do you mean holy war? Well, like Bunyan in his great book, Holy War, this is what I mean. Look at verse 10. Sing. This is a song. Someone's going to sing someday. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages of Kedar inhabits the inhabitants. Let the inhabitants of Selah, Yada Circle, S-E-L-A. That's awesome because we know archaeologically now it's Petra in the kingdom of Jordan today. Petra. S-E-L-A has archaeologically been discovered. It is known as Petra. It's where Indiana Jones rode the horse through the crack in the earth in the temple. Is that the right one? The temple?
No.
Which one is it?
The Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade. Petra. Selah. In your Bible. Sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord. There's His name. And declare His praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up His zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against His enemies. These verses are describing the second coming of Christ. If you know Isaiah, if you know the book of Revelation, if you read the book of Joel, what are we looking at in verses 10 to 13? Listen, everybody, people have a hard time with this, especially in America. The God of the Bible, the Messiah, Savior, Jesus Christ, is a man of war. You say, I've never heard that before. Well, it's in your Bible. By the way, you ought to read the book of Revelation because the Bible says he comes out of heaven and he's going to bring war against his enemies. Jesus, the Bible says that he's going to fight that day like he has in the day of battle. How did he do that? When did he do that? Apparently, whenever Israel's in trouble, God shows up. That's why they're still existing today against all odds. Churches, does this bother you that he is going to do this? You say, I don't know. That's why I don't read the Old Testament. Well, listen, you'll never know the real true picture of God unless you read Old and New. You know, that's not my Jesus. Well, you got the wrong Jesus then, because right now, I appreciate your view right now. Right now, he's gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I get that. Hallelujah, right? But the Bible tells us that there's going to time come when he's going to roll up his sleeves. He says, that's it. Time's up. Time's up. And the Bible says he comes out of heaven and he strikes the earth with his fury. Jesus in the Bible. See, people want to have a Jesus that is just really super tolerant of anything and everything. And he doesn't make anybody feel bad or guilty about anything. He's just such a cool Jesus. He's just go with the flow Jesus. And if you're doing that, this or that, he'll just look the other way. That ain't the Jesus of the Bible. Right now, he's like this. Don't do that. You're going to kill yourself. Don't do that. It's going to mess up your life. Don't do that. Don't do that. And he doesn't do anything to you. You and I are doing it all to ourselves. And then there comes a time, just like Noah in the ark, and it was done. Time's up. Isn't that amazing to think that it's true? Today, the modern-day church will have nothing to do with the Jesus that is going to come back. And the next time the church sees Jesus, the Bible says that his hair is as white as snow, and his beard as white as snow, something, his hair. How's it go? His eyes are a flame of fire. His face is bright as the sun. And his beard and his hair is white. And on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man. Think about that. When that day happens and all the people that run around saying, asking God to, you know what, God blank this and Jesus Christ that. And all of a sudden, the one that they've been cursing shows up. Think about that terror of that. And doesn't that kind of make you think? All around the world, people are going to curse. They're going to use Jesus' name. No one cusses using Muhammad's name. No one hits their, ow, Muhammad. No one does that. No one hits their finger up with a hammer and says, oh, Buddha. Have you noticed all around the world, people slam their finger in a door and the Jesus comes out of their mouth. That ought to wake you up to something. Verses 14 to 17. He's the God of patient judgment. Boy, look at verse 14. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. God's restraining himself right now, is he not? Listen, it gives me no pleasure to say this, but right now, with all that's going on in this world that's not right, coupled with all of the things that are going on that's offensive to God, church, listen, we know the Bible, but we don't know nothing compared to what God knows about what's offensive. And let me kind of prep you with this. When you and I sin, we break the heart of God. And I want to make this very clear right now. I'm going to quote something I read the other day, but I'm not singling out this sin. Are you with me, everybody? So for example, if you're a liar, it breaks God's heart, okay? If you cheat on your income tax, it breaks God's heart. Did you know that? If you are a whoremonger, it breaks God's heart. If you're abusive, it breaks God. Fill it in the blank, okay? So I'm not pointing out any particular sin. If you're an adulterer, it breaks God's heart. Are we on the same page, everybody? So just the other day, I saw this in the news. And there was a display somewhere about the LGBT flag. And somebody asked the question, what is that all about? And a gentleman responded, the founder of the LGBT flag, do you know what it looks like, everybody? It looks like a rainbow. I said it looks like a rainbow. It's not a rainbow. I don't know if they know that or not. I think they call it a rainbow flag. The only problem is, it's not a rainbow. I don't know if you know that. They certainly don't know that. How do I know? Because the guy that invented it is named Gilbert Baker. And I'm quoting him right now. He says it means that God is patient and kind and compassionate. Yes, he is, of course. And the flag is a reminder to us that when we look at the book of Genesis, we can know that he will never again judge the earth. He never said that. God never said that. God never said that. And again, I'm not pointing out this particular sin. If it's robbery, violence, if it's sexual manipulation, it doesn't matter. If you're rude, you break God's heart. Okay, so I'm not. But this poor man, listen, I don't mean that to even condescend anyway or anything. This guy, I assume he believes what he says. And he's got just a little bit enough of Bible knowledge to make his theology dangerous. God said, I have set the rainbow in the sky because I will never flood the earth again. He will not use water. He said, the next time I destroy the earth, it will be not with water, I will use fire. And this poor man, listen, I don't even know this guy, but I love him. I love him and I wish I could talk to him and say, listen, dude, you've been lied to. God is patient. And his judgment's holy and pure. In Genesis 6, verse 3, he says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, God says to Noah, build yourself an ark. And we'll have to end here for time's sake, you guys. Final verse, is 2 Peter 3. Listen, this is heavy stuff. And I'm not giving you this to bum you out. I'm giving you this for you to think, to be armed, to be equipped, to go love on people that have been swept up in lying, adultery, drunkenness, whatever it might be. But God's patient and kind, isn't he? Yes, he is. Of course he is. Listen, he's so patient and kind, I'm still standing. You're still breathing. Knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water in the water by which the world then that existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That means he's patient. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us lost ones found. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be forgiven of our sins. And we'll have to end here. We ran out of time. It's no surprise. Father, you are so patient and so kind and so gentle. In fact, you are so patient that we could easily think that over time, living a certain life or doing certain things, that you somehow approve. And that's called self-deception. Your word is clear. Your word is true. Your word is love. And you care for us so much that you'll tell us the truth. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That trusting in Jesus Christ alone is the very source of eternal life. For he died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. And for that, I mean, Lord, for that, we should have to nail our feet to the floor, as it were, to keep us from flying with joy. Lord, we live in paradise and we thank you for it. And yet all the glorious things that we most often take for granted, the sweetness of the breeze or the sun, the trees, the ocean, the mountains, civility, is nothing compared to the very person of who you are, an almighty God in heaven above. May we not look around this world and either become disillusioned by its pain or become deluded by its luxury. Lord, may we all tonight determine, if we haven't, to be citizens of heaven. To say to you tonight, Almighty God, whatever this guy's been babbling about, I don't know, but something, I need to ask you, God, are you real? Is it true? Jesus, will you save me? Will you come into my life? My dear friend, I can put it to you like that because he is real. And if you're honest, he will come into your life. Call out to him. He's always been waiting to hear from you. And church, tonight, he's waiting to hear from us in praise. Let's stand tonight and offer our praise to him. And at the end of this song, if you need prayer for anything, the elders will be up front to administer prayer to you. So don't miss out on that. But let's wash his feet tonight in this closing song of worship. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank God for his patience. But why would you wait to act upon his free gift of salvation when you can come to Jesus right now? God's Man for the Ages, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me turn you on to a couple of videos that you can find on Pastor Jack's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. These videos were filmed live during one of his recent tours to Israel. Now, one of them is called The Authority and Reliability of the Bible. It's a message that he spoke from the caves located near the Dead Sea. Now, you may be wondering why Pastor Jack did a message from there. Well, it was inside these caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. A significant discovery when it comes to trusting God's Word, the Bible. Pastor Jack also taped one of his Facebook Happening Now broadcasts from Israel. His special guest is our friend Amir Safati, who many of you know is from Israel, but did you know that he's a major in the Israeli Defense Force? This is the first time that Pastor Jack did his Happening Now broadcast outside the U.S. He's speaking from the prophetic Valley of Armageddon, and according to the Book of Revelation, it's the location where armies will gather for a final battle during the end times. So head on over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for all of Pastor Jack's latest videos. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.